Artin, you are a 14-year-old girl living in a village high in the mountains of Asia. The beautiful region is lush with greenery, but work here is scarce, and every family struggles to find enough money to survive. Your father works hard, travelling 20 kilometres to his job by motorbike each day, but this does not pay well. Your grandmother and mother earn what they can by selling rice cakes wrapped in banana leaves from baskets over their shoulders. Things become much harder when your father, tragically, has an accident on the road. Your family sells his bike to cover the medical fees, but he needs costly, ongoing care, and he can no longer work. With your costs doubled and your income halved, life becomes a struggle, and your parents worry deeply. So when one day a man comes from the city, there is great excitement in the village. He brings photographs of beautiful restaurants, and you turn the pages of his book in wonder. The jobs look magical. Tourists come to these restaurants and leave big tips in foreign currencies. Your daughter Artin is the right age, the man tells your mother. Would she like to come with me? She could earn money for her education and that of her siblings, and maybe she could even get your husband to a special doctor in the city. You and your family are delighted. Of course, you ache to think that if you go, you will have nothing but their photographs for company. Yet, with your income, they will have hope for the first time in many years. It is a dream come true.
Please, pass through the curtain to section 2.
You follow the man to the city, where he introduces you to a lady, Madame, as he calls her, who will be in charge of your training. She buys makeup, clothing, and jewelry such as you have never seen before. You are rather bewildered by all this, and somehow a little afraid. Isn't this expensive, you ask her? Certainly, she shrugs, but you'll earn enough to pay us back in time. There's an expression on her face you do not like. As your introduction continues, you worry the more. Why, you wonder, isn't Madame giving you restaurant training? All she talks about is your appearance. After a few days, Madame says you are ready for different lessons. With a glint in her eye, she says you will need special injections to calm you in preparation for them. Why, you protest, why should I need calming? Oh, you'll like it, she continues, seemingly deaf to your questions. You'll ask for more once you've had it. By now, you are really frightened, and she, seeing it, calls for help. Two men enter your room and hold you down while she gives you the needle. At first, the injection makes you think you are in heaven, but later, it feels more like hell. In your drugged haze, you know the men have begun abusing you, and you are powerless to stop them. Practicing, training, are the words they use. More injections are given as, for hours, perhaps days, they have their way with you. At last, you awake not only from their abuse, but from your deception. Feeling dirtied to the depths of your being, you realize there is no restaurant. There is no waiting on tables. There are foreigners, but your job will be to serve as a prostitute, not a waitress. At that realization, you make a decision. First thing in the morning, before it is light, you will run away from this nightmare and go home to your village.
Please, pass through the curtain to section 3.
Early next day, before Madame or the other girls awake, you make your move. Your mind is clear. You will get back to the village, ignore the embarrassment of returning empty-handed, and tell your parents you could not stay. Of course, you will not tell them the truth. If they knew, your family would be the shame of the village. You tiptoe nervously to the door. You try it once, you try it again, Panicking, you shake the handle and push with all your might, but it does not open. In an instant, though, it seems, the noise wakes Madame, and she is on the other side, shouting. "I knew you'd be trouble the moment you arrived," she rages. "What do you think you're doing after all we've done for you? Don't you know you are in debt to us? And don't you want to make money to help your family?" She unlocks the door so she can hit you over and over until your face is bruised. When she reaches exhaustion, she pushes you into the room which will be, from now on, your workplace. The truth, at last, dawns on you. You are not only a prostitute, you are a prisoner.
Please, pass through the curtain to section 4.
Before long, a week has passed, then a month. More and more men are sent to you, their brief visits often fueled by alcohol and drugs. Madame says you, like her other girls, must cater for as many as 30 men per day. At first, you try desperately to find whispered moments to ask help from these girls. But Madame has her informants even among them, and none dares to help you. Nobody fights Madame. When your days finally finish, you stare longingly at photos of your family, wishing for a way to block out the reality of this nightmare as you gaze at the home you so loved. You have not heard a word from your family since you came. Madame says they never write. You wonder, though. You suspect that she's deliberately keeping their letters from you. One day, two English-speaking journalists visit the brothel. They behave differently from the other men. They come to your room, but they never touch you. Instead, they ask you to tell them your age and the truth about your life here. Afterwards, they talk to Madame and, amid much shouting, negotiate a deal to buy your freedom. You listen in wonder. The journalists discuss their plan to organize your transport home next day. But as they speak, they receive a mobile call from their editor in London. A bomb explosion has seen tragic loss of life in a neighboring country, and he needs them to cover the story. They protest at leaving, but since the editor has no other journalists in the area, he insists. All they can do is place cash in your hand to cover your travel costs and, with a grieved expression, head for their hotel and the airport. After they leave, Madame comes to your room with her own mobile phone in hand and a triumphant look on her face. She has called your family. Trembling, you take the phone and all but break down when you hear your mother's voice. Before you can say more than a few words, though, your mother interrupts. She is worried, but she does not want you to leave, Madame. Grandmother has become ill and is deteriorating quickly. They may soon face the cost of a funeral. They will never manage without the monthly income Madame sends. You stare yet again at your family photos as you try desperately to tell your mother of your agony. "Things here are not as the man from the city said," you tell her. "In fact, you have never again seen that man who came to your village." Shame prevents you from explaining in full, and your voice trails off as your mother gives you the worst news of all. Everything has been arranged. She's reinstated your contract with Madame. For you, that news is a death sentence. From that point on, you no longer try to contact your family. You blindly follow Madame's instruction in the months that follow, empty in the deepest place of your being. It is over a year later when Madame herself raises the question of your going home again. She appears at your door to say a doctor, who was a customer, thinks you have become ill. "We've all noticed you've been getting thin and looking pale," she says. "You've been coughing too. Other customers are also requesting you less, asking if you have TB or even HIV/AIDS. You're no use to us anymore. You stare at her, bewildered by her words and mystified by the illnesses she mentions. Madame gives a dismissive shrug, gesturing towards your suitcase. She advises you to pack your bags and go back home. You are dumbfounded by this sudden turn of events. You're frightened, too. Are you sick? Madame would only give up a girl if she was sure she could no longer make money from her. As Madame stalks out of the room, you sit, stunned, trying to remember what you have heard other girls whisper before about the illnesses she named. You know there's a medical clinic nearby which tests for HIV/AIDS. You decide to find that clinic and have that test before you do anything more.
Please, pass through the curtain to section 5.
Later that afternoon, suitcase in hand, you head into the street. In spirit, part of you can't help but sigh with relief to be walking away at last from your prison. Yet, part of you wonders if it has, in fact, been replaced by another prison, one you can never leave. Your tread becomes heavier with each step. Do you have this illness? Will you now be a burden to your family, assuming they will take you back? You have to find out the truth. You have to know if you have HIV/AIDS.
Please, pass through the black curtain and turn left towards the clinic.
This clinic specializes in the HIV/AIDS virus. As you await your results here, many questions may be running through your mind. This clinic has specially prepared a brochure for its patients called While You Wait to answer these. Please help yourself to one. Take a seat and read as much of it as you would like. Please proceed to the results area and take your card from the box on the wall to learn whether the result is positive or negative. You have now completed the story lane of the person whose life you followed, and you now know whether he or she contracted HIV. Whatever the news you received, you may like time to reflect on that story. You might also like to learn more about HIV/AIDS. In these rooms, you can see how others live with HIV/AIDS. Discover the geographic spread of HIV/AIDS. Find out how you can help or be helped in regard to HIV/AIDS. Learn why HIV/AIDS spreads. Write about your own feelings on the subject. And, if you like, purchase items sold to generate support for people affected by HIV/AIDS. Take as long as you like in these rooms. We will play music as you look around. When you're ready to leave, please go to our receptionist and return your headset. Again, we thank you for taking part in this experience. It may not have been easy, and we deeply appreciate your willingness to identify with those who live daily with the reality of HIV/AIDS and its many complex causes and results.